kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Teaching, seeing Jesus who is invisible. Seeing Jesus who is invisible. And in many ways, this is a continuation of what we were looking at on Sunday. I'm just impressed that the Holy Spirit is showing us that there is more we can experience from him, because he is a living person. He is real. He is alive. He is risen. He has triumphed. He has overcome all things. And he wants to touch our lives in a even greater and deeper way. You know, the great preacher and teacher in America, years back, Jonathan Edwards, he said this: man will trust in God no further than they know him. Man will trust in God no further than they know him. And that is hitting it bang on the head, hitting the nail straight on the head, because we will go no further than how much we know him. And God has a way of translating this word, his word, into a knowing, into an experience. There is no other book ever written, and we have myriads of books written, there is no book comparable with this, where the Spirit of God can translate this word, his word, into a personal experience. This word takes us as deep and as far as we want to go with him. And that is, of course, why we preach and teach the deeper life. So we're calling this today, Seeing Jesus Who Is Invisible. And I'm taking this from Hebrews 11 and verse 27. And it's the story of Moses. In fact, we'll take it from verse 23 of Hebrews 11. Verse 23 of Hebrews 11, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And by faith he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea and dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. He saw one who is invisible. And because he had a vision, and he was called of God, God was able to meet with him on Mount Sinai. None of the rest of the children of Israel had that experience, not even Aaron. Only he was able to stand in the presence of God. And verse 27 gives us the clue to it. By faith, he forsook Egypt. That was the world then in that day. That was where God drew you out of the world. And the same as we have or it was called Babylon. We have today Babylon, or Mystery Babylon, which is of the world, the corruption and vice of the world. Again, God separates us from the world. He brings us out because we choose not to live and act like the world, and not fearing the wrath of the king. So in other words, he was not fearful of Pharaoh, who could have destroyed him, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Notice the word endured. In other words, he overcame. He stayed with it. He was faithful. And as a result of all of that, he was able to stand in the presence of Almighty God on Mount Sinai and hear the voice of God, because he believed, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And in many ways, this is what God is challenging us, the overcomers, the man-child that is making themselves ready. It is the same principle, the same work of the Spirit is doing the same being. And so, looking at this, it's interesting that being saved and seeing Christ are not the same things. You see, we have those who are content to be saved, but you have to hunger. As it says in the Beatitudes, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Filled with what? Exactly what Moses was experiencing, enduring and seeing him who is invisible. In other words, the law became life. He had an encounter with Almighty God. And God is doing the same. And I believe that God is going to call those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, is going to cause you to come deeper and closer with him, eventually, so that you see him. And of course, we will see him when he comes into the clouds and he takes his bride home to himself. We will visibly then see him. So there is the same principle, but we know that not all are going to go up in the rapture. It is those who overcome in all things, who trust God. You see, when you see him, you are never the same. There is something that changes within you that the world cannot do. It is supernatural. It is miraculous. That's why I say so often, our Christian walk is a walk that is miraculous. You are ever changing and being changed into the likeness of Jesus Christ, or at least you should be, or you should be challenged to be through the teaching. You see, sadly, a lot of Christians are never really challenged to go deeper with God, so that they experience these changes, so that they see him who is invisible. And that's why we preach and teach faith, because faith is going to manifest God to you. That is the principle that he sets in motion. And you see, when you begin to press in and go deeper with God, it puts many things in this life in perspective. In other words, you begin to understand, you begin to see it for what it is. You begin to appreciate that God has separated you, called you out, the same as Moses was separated from the courts of Pharaoh. We know that when he was born, that she placed him in the Nile, in a sort of basket, and there she knew that Pharaoh's daughter would adopt him and look after him. That was all the divine intervention of God working. was working there to get to know the courts of Pharaoh, to get to know the Egyptians, so that God could finally separate him from all of that and then use him. He would have an understanding so that the children of Israel could be delivered from bondage. And God does a similar type with us. He uses the world and what it did and how it tried to shape us and everything. He then withdraws and takes us out of it so that he then can use us in the way that he does, with our past experience, but now separated from it, no longer influenced or held by it or controlled by it, you see? This is why God separates us unto himself, unto holiness. And that is always one of the things that he will do. And that's why our ministries are all different, but are able by the Spirit in which to minister to people, to share the word and so on, to proclaim this good news of the gospel. And God will often at times use your experience, what the world did with you. When he separates you, he then, when he's done that work with you, he then can draw you back into that which you were separated from, and he can use you and will use you. Many, many times you see this with saints, how God does this work, this principle over our lives. I've seen it in my life over and over again, you see. But you have to come away, you have to be separated unto God, unto holiness, as it will never work, you see. And there you see the divine intervention of God, how God uses everything. He uses our personality, our background, our education, what type of environment we come from, or the people that we associated with, or whatever it would be, you see. That is why the ministry of the gospel is so diverse in that way, and yet it's still the same message, you see. That's why all our ministries are different in that way, and yet our message is still all the same. Isn't it wonderful how the Holy Spirit works this? How that our personalities, our characters are all different, and yet God uses that in which to share and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Never limit God. Never limit the fact that, well, I didn't have much of an education, or my past life wasn't very good, or whatever it would be. Never, ever limit God. He separated you from all of that, in which then to use you, you see, because it's by the Spirit of God that he does it. It's not us trying to do it, and that, of course, is the difference. But you know, when you meet up with God in this way, you see him who is invisible. As I said, you're never the same, and it puts everything in perspective. And that's why you don't have to look to man and trust in man. And this is the problem with so many that don't grow and mature in the faith. And that's why they still look to man and rely on man. You can't proclaim a gospel when you are relying upon man, because those in the world are going to hear already what they already trust in. They're already going to hear those doubts and unbelief. They're going to think to themselves, there's nothing in this that influences me. But when you see him who is invisible, and you have that encounter with him and that change with him, then they begin to hear, because something miraculous is coming out of your mouth, out of your life, out of your experience, that they know the world cannot give that. you see. This is why the early disciples and Jesus' disciples, the world then at that time, they knew who they were. They knew who they were with. They heard these, what they thought, uneducated men speaking profound things by the Spirit. And the people were influenced by that. We've lost that experience today. We're all trying to do it in our own flesh, in our own strength, and we never can. And the problem is, here it is, verse 27. Seeing him who is invisible, when your life is touched and changed. And then the healings and deliverances start to come. Because most of Christendom has a shallow understanding of God and the Word. And that is the problem. And God isn't going to have that with FGA, not what we are receiving and have received over the years. What does it say in Mark 16? Mark 16, verses 9 to 13. Mark 16 and verses 9 to 13. And when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. And she went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. And after that he appeared in another form in two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, and they did not believe them. See? And it's a bit the same even in Christendom. We hear these things, but we don't always believe, you see. And that's our problem. And that's why we stay with the Word of God. And as this Word is personally ministered to us, this Word is going to draw us unto the person of Jesus Christ. And there you're going to see it's living, it's alive. It's empowered by the Spirit. This is changing me. This is bringing me into the presence of Almighty God, seeing him who is invisible. And that is where you change, brothers and sisters. You're never the same when you see him. Seeing him convinces you of his resurrection, triumphing over all things, triumphing over the powers of darkness. It begins to put all your trials and your weaknesses and those areas you battle in, begins to put them all in a different perspective. You begin to see that victory and experience it. And that's what he wants to bring us into, you see. We have to recognize the difference of what Jesus is and what he has done for you. And that is the difference. It's not just recognizing, but it's knowing what he's done for you. The power of the Spirit, what it's done and is doing in your life. Changing you, conforming you into his image. If you only see what he is, it isn't big enough. And I'm convinced that God is challenging FGA and maybe many others who hear this teaching. It's got to be bigger. The kingdom of God is infinitely bigger than your kingdom. We're still so wrapped up in our little kingdom. It's not enough. It's not big enough. And the only way this changes when we see him who is invisible. This is why I said on Sunday, the Apostle Paul, the moment he saw and he heard Jesus on the road to Damascus, he fell on his knees. What would you have me to do? He was changed. everything of the law. He knew everything of the law. Suddenly it became personal. It became living. It became alive. He saw that what he was preaching and is persecuting the churches with the word of God, that he did what he believed. That's what he was believing. But the moment he met the risen Christ, the real person, all of that changed. And God's doing that with you and I. It's a process. And that's why you have to have a vision of seeing him. And that vision is translated into experience. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm reminded of the man that was born blind. Here's a typical story here in John 9. Let's look at John 9, chapter 9, verses 1 to 12. John 9 and verses 1 to 12. And listen to this. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or is his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sin, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. So God is using this blindness to show a deeper meaning. He's going to show something here that is profound. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. So he's working, he's of the day, he's of the light, and this man that is blind, he's of the dark, and he's going to be of the light. He's going to change something in this man. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. That blind man doesn't know this. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. So that is the order. If he wants to see, he's got to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. He can't go into a house somewhere and just get a bucket of water and take the clay off his eyes. No, he's got to go to the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this the man who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he's like him. He said, I am he. Therefore they said to him, how were your eyes open? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go up to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and I received sight. Then they said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. You see, God is setting the scene there. That man had an encounter. He experienced the word. The word translated into deeds, into actions. And of course, he saw. And God is spiritually doing that with us as well. Now, how do we see? How do we encounter seeing him who is invisible? Well, I said in there, it shows quite clearly, Jesus said, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. That was the requirement. He had to obey. You see, faith acts and obeys on that which you know, which you understand. Had he not done that, he wouldn't have come back seeing. And there is the principle always. And that is what God requires of us every time we come together and we listen to the word like this. God is expecting the revelation of what we receive, how he speaks to us. He all speaks to us differently through each message. He's requiring an act of faith and obedience that you may see. See what? See who? Him who is invisible. That is how you grow. If you just come to a meeting and it's another word and it's a blessing, you have not learned what these meetings are about. You have not yet learned what it is and why it is that God is bringing you to his word in order for you that you may see. And the way this is achieved is you hunger and ask God to put that hunger in your heart, because he says the promise will be you will be filled. Filled with what? The presence of Almighty God, the reality, touching your life, seeing him who is invisible. It is one of the great things to ask, to hunger, to thirst. Never let me be filled. Ever let me be hungry for more and more. And if you mean that, you want that, God will do it. Because that's what makes an overcomer. That's how the bride makes herself ready, by hungering and thirsting for more. You see, no one can see Jesus with your eyes closed. You have to have your eyes open that you can see him. And this is why God brings us to the word and brings us under the anointing. This is opening our eyes that we may see and act our faith in accordance. You see, you cannot act your faith if you can't see. And the way we see is by coming, by hearing, by listening, Romans 10:17, and that will start to open your eyes in order that you can see, that you can walk, and you can see him who is invisible. Don't try and work it out how he does it. It's miraculous. It's a miracle. But that's what he does, you see. And that's what makes being a Christian and walking with God so wonderful, so exciting. We know that the world cannot do that. Even all man's technology or medical science or whatever it is, it's not a patch on how God does this with us. And the thing is, when your eyes are open, then you can lead other people also in the gospel to Jesus Christ. The reason that we don't have much success is because our eyes still have to be open. And it's only God who opens the eyes. Because we all desire for others to see. We all desire and want that our family, our loved ones are saved. And when you see, you must tell that which you see. So when you see him that is invisible, you cannot help but share that, what you see. The same as the apostle, he shared his experience because it had such a profound effect on him, you see. We don't hear enough of these experiences that we should be having in our lives. Because then the world out there will begin to take notice. And then you can start to ask God to bring them where you have been. Because you've seen him who is invisible. He's opened your eyes to see that. Lord, I want them to come and see him who is invisible. Where I am going, Lord, bring them along also. Great, profound prayers to pray, and for your loved ones and family and so on. It's because we're not influenced enough. It's not made a big enough impact yet to be able to start praying those prayers like that, you see. And the nature of the deeper life is having a vision of him and seeing that victory, seeing what he achieved at Calvary. That's why it says in the Word of God, taste and see that the Lord is good. There's a chorus that we sing on that as well. It's not just seeing, it's tasting. It's our whole being, body, soul and spirit, coming into this experience, being changed. This isn't rocket science. This is the problem, because it's easy in that sense. That's why we miss it. Because we feel we have to do something. And it isn't. It's believing. It's asking. Did you know that much of the teachings that you hear twice a week is to stir up in you to ask before your Heavenly Father to get that prayer life? That's why prayer changes things. And the Word of God should spur you in that direction, encourage you. You know, when I hear teaching, sometimes I think, gosh, I've heard something in there. I need to go and talk to my Heavenly Father about that. I need to bring that before him. That's profound what I've heard. There's just something instinctive that rises up within one that you want to go and talk about that. And no finer way than talk to your Heavenly Father who inspired that to be said. This is why he wants us to talk about the Word and what we hear before him in prayer and praying some of these things through. That's how you grow, brothers and sisters. Now, some seem to understand this and others don't. You grow by the Word, by the preaching, teaching of the Word. That's why God sets the anointing in the body, the unction of the Spirit. It's to spur you on. It's to cause you to go before your Heavenly Father, to bring these promises, to bring that revelation you've heard, to talk about it, to pray it through. And what will be achieved by all of that? You will see him who is invisible. Just like Moses and how he walked with God. And nobody under the old covenant had a relationship and standing with God like Moses did. Well, how much more now the bride of Christ, who's making herself ready, who's going to be with Christ throughout eternity. Wherever he is, wherever he goes, his bride will always be there by his side. And that's you, the church, the overcomers. And the bride has to get to know her husband, whom she's going to marry. Because he knows us, but he wants us to know him. And this is how you begin to know him, by taking this Word. This is why I encourage you to always have a little notepad, and when you hear the Word or whatever and it speaks to you, just jot it down. And that is for me to talk with my Heavenly Father. I want to bring that before him, because the devil is there to try and snatch the Word of God from you, the parable of the sower. And at times we need our memories jogged so that we got it down there. Yes, I won't forget this, you see. That's how you grow. And that is going to bring you into a living reality and experience with Jesus Christ. And all of this will start to really begin to make sense. It becomes real and personal. And then As the Spirit leads, you're able to take and share with this dying world, and they will listen, they will hear, they will know that you have been with Jesus. The same as the early church and those around knew those disciples have been with Jesus, because his presence changes us. Some of us are trying to change. Some of us are trying to be good. Some of us are trying to overcome. We're trying to do the right things, and we're failing. We're falling flat on our face. We're exhausted. I know some of you are tired. You're exhausted. And you wonder what it's all about. This is the key. He's going to draw you into his presence. But you've got to hunger. You've got to ask for it. And you will begin to see him who is invisible. And then you will begin to rise up in his power and strength. And you will begin to do great exploits. You will begin to see God working through you. And your family, those at work, your neighbors will begin to see things are working. If something works through this person, I don't understand, but there's something there that works through them, because I know they can't do that naturally, you see? And that starts to get people's attention. And at the right time, as the Spirit leads, you share the kingdom of God with them. You share what Jesus is doing in your life, how you're able to overcome, able to go that extra mile, able to love your enemy, how you're able to keep your mouth shut and button it. That speaks a lot to people. There's many, many things that God is working on in our life, in facets of our life and character. We're not always aware of it. But this is what he's doing. And that's why we've talked today about seeing Jesus who is invisible. He wants to reveal and manifest himself more and more to us, because he knows that's where you change. That's where you believe. That's where he knows he can start to work it through you. You work together. You're not fighting against him, resisting him. But you're working together as a team. That's how he wants it with us. There are times we still fight against him. We resist him. But continue to hunger and thirst. Continue to dialogue with the Lord. Take it all before him. Pray it through. And you'll begin to see great breakthroughs and developments. Trust me. The Lord really, I think, impressed to me a great confidence with this teaching before I was to share this with you. I just sensed that this was something important for us to hear today. So I trust that you've been blessed and...